Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Yes, what is up, everybody? I'm not Ian Joy. I'm Jimmy Conrad. I'm here with two of my favorite people, Nigel Riococher and Michael LaHoud, as we break down all the action from this past weekend because the club football is back, everybody. This is the Kay Golasso podcast. Hey, like and subscribe if you haven't already. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button on any podcast platform of your choice. And boys, it's great to see you. Nigel, always a pleasure. How are you doing, my friend?
I am great, my friend. Looking forward to this very much so. And I'm so happy you've got a City shirt in the background. Unlike our friend Michael, who has his Man United shirt, who'd be better off doing a show in the dark. Make everyone else feel comfortable.
Yeah, so we're going to break down the 6-2 win by Manchester City. Two hat tricks were scored in this one. One by Erling Haaland, who's an absolute robot. And then you have Phil Foden, who continues to get better and better. LaHoud, though, you're wearing this United shirt. You're clearly asking for some pain. You're a masochist. What are you doing?
I'm actually using it maybe a toilet paper later on. Because that's
all right.
That took it another level.
Yeah.
Every United fan should be considering swapping this shirt for something else. Can get out right now.
Let me get into some fun facts and then Nigel, I'm gonna start with you. Okay, so 6-2 was the final result. It's now the highest scoring Manchester Derby in any competition ever in 187 meetings all time. That's the highest scoring Derby. Erling Haaland, maybe you've heard of him, has more Premier League goals this season than 14 teams, including Manchester United and Chelsea by himself. Now, the one saving grace for Manchester United, I think, is that Harry Maguire wasn't at fault for any of the goals. So you got that going for you guys. So let's give it up for that. Erling Haaland has 3 Premier League hat tricks in his last 3 Premier League home games. That's insane. And now Erling Haaland has as many Premier League hat tricks as Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's only played 8 matches. Nigel, well, I don't know where you want to go with this. That first half was ridiculous. City were up 4-0 at that point, and I tweeted out, if they don't win every trophy imaginable, I'll be surprised, one. And second, they should be disappointed. These guys are sensational.
No, I know. But Jimmy, I think for that, we've got to realize that this is a Manchester derby. This is domestic football. Manchester Derby, it's pride of the city. It's that old school kind of mentality. And I think that's what we have to understand about this game. It was 6-3. It is the highest ever scoring goals of a Manchester Derby. And I think for me, Manchester United have been brought back down to reality. They've had a big slice of humble pie today because it shows the distance in the gap of quality of where Manchester United want to be compared to where Manchester City are. Haaland, for me, is just a goal scorer. He doesn't get involved in play that much at all, but he puts it into the back of the net when it counts. He's a little bit of a difference maker. Again, you don't want Manchester City to be over-reliant on them. Manchester United embarrassed themselves in the first half because they just didn't play. They weren't brave enough. And I think before we start going into the players and everything, we have to say Ten Hag has to take a bit of responsibility in the team that he picked. Mm-hmm. For me personally, yep. I do not understand now, and this is, again, it's going to open the avenue for criticism and comments in, how do you sign Casemiro for 70 million and you do not start him in a Manchester derby when this guy's played in Champions League football? He played for the national team of Brazil in the week and had a great assist for a goal, one of their goals. And you don't start him in a Manchester derby. Someone who's comfortable on the ball. I saw the difference when he came on. I know people can be critical about, oh, he gave the ball away, but it's hard to play into the game, especially in centre midfielders, a holding midfielder, when you come in as a sub. But he's more willing to show for the ball. He's more willing to get on the ball in tight areas and make those forward passes. This isn't a dig at McTominay.
It shouldn't be, because they can only do what they can do. And I agree with you about Erik ten Hag, Nigel, that he said before the game, why would he change anything? Obviously, they came into the international break with a big win over Arsenal. Why would you change it? And I do want to say that I made a mistake. It was 6-3 at the end. I stopped paying attention after Foden made it 6-1. I'm sorry.
Let me just go back at this then. All right. So he said, why would you change it when you win? Didn't the great Alex Ferguson, who's won 20 league titles at Manchester United, change his team regardless of the score of when they win? That's the modern game of football. You have to change depending on the opponents you are facing. That's a game where you start Casemiro. Casemiro needed to start in that game. And I think for me, the players didn't turn up in the first half. I was going to be very critical of Antony. Again, another player you pay X amount of millions for.
You were critical. You were critical of him, mind you. You were critical.
But Michael, when you pay that type of money, you need that player shining. You need people talking about him. We didn't talk about Antony till he scored a goal. That is not good enough return for a player you're paying that
kind of money. How are you saying that's not
for
good enough?
It's if he a banger, scored though. That a goal,
that, so I completely disagree.
It's a banger, but it's still not good enough. At that type of money,
Michael,
I was going to say my last point. At that type of money,
you've been going for about 2 minutes, so yeah, go on.
You have to be involved in the game and be a player that people are talking about. Go on then.
So I disagree with the take on Antony. If you want to talk about Jadon Sancho, that's a good take. Sancho was pedestrian today. Looked out of sorts. Want to play? Well, I got some more air. I got some oxygen tank if you need more to go on the next 6 minute rant. So when I look at this game, I think you're bang on with Casemiro and the lineup sheet. There's too much space in the middle of the park, and Manchester City, when you have those type of world-class center midfielders, you cannot give them space. So many goals coming off a transition, and it's the City DNA. They get to the end line, overlapping runs from Bernardo Silva. He could be one of the best signings in terms of players who stayed. He looks like a new signing for City. Looks to be reinventing himself out of midfield, getting involved in goals. Just too many weapons for Manchester City, overwhelming United. United would have been better. United have gotten results at the Etihad, have sat back, almost defending in their box, and then hitting on the counter, lulling City to sleep. And this was naivety, down to Ten Hag naivety, down to lack of execution from the players. But now it gives you something different to think about. The fact that Anthony Martial comes off the bench and gets you two goals, and Jimmy, I'm glad you corrected it, because I was going to give you the half of the backhand, three, half of the Al Pacino backhand, three, made it somewhat more respectable, but that game was blown out of the water. When I look at Manchester City, and you got to give them all the credit, Pep Guardiola got it spot on. One of the unsung heroes of this match. It's a big gamble, a big call, given the Champions League is around the corner. He started Akanji. I thought he was class. He brought a physical presence.
Very good.
It allowed Nathan Ake to get steam and create momentum through breaking the lines with passes and breaking the lines on the dribble. United's game plan was flustered and frustrated when you have a center back like Ake, who's been a revelation since going to Manchester City, being able to get to that next depth in midfield. And now it gives your two defensive midfielders something to think about. You have to go put pressure, which creates passing lanes for the likes of De Bruyne and Phil Foden. And there was just too much to handle.
Hey, put some respect on Bernardo Silva's name too, by the way. That guy is incredible in tight spaces. And I just didn't want you to leave him out. I'm going to give you a little backhand over here, Michael Hood. So what I love, Nigel, is just how predatory Man City is on both sides of the ball. Even when they were up 3-0, 4-0, they're playing like they're down a goal. They've got that hunger, that desire when the ball turns over. They're so good in transition that if Man United can't find it, and they looked very rushed in that first half, and it was definitely men versus boys in that first half in particular. Man United was trying to, they're being in a hurry, and it played into City's hands, right? I mean, you're going to try to try to solve it in three passes. Once we win it back, you're not going to touch it for 3 or 4 minutes. And it just became this vicious cycle. They couldn't get out of it. Obviously, that led to four goals, four very good goals. I kind of want to talk overarching then. What does this mean for you, Nigel, with regard to Man City? Do you think they're the clear favorites to win the Premier League? And then what does this mean also for Man United? Was it just, we've seen them have a bad performance again or before against Brentford. Is this something we're going to see under Ten Hag where you have the highs and you have the lows, kind of Bielsa-like in some ways? Or no. Do you think this is just a blip and they just ran into one of the best teams or the best team in the world?
I think it's an embarrassment, if I'm honest. I don't think it's a blip.
I'm glad you went there.
It's an absolute embarrassment. I think that this is what we've got to look at it, Jimmy. Manchester City brought Pep Guardiola in for a reason. They believe in his footballing philosophy and his identity and his style. Pep Guardiola, truly behold, is the recruitment guy of Manchester City. Every player he picks comes in. Manchester United, for many, many years now, haven't had a clue in recruiting. They haven't had any direct game plan. They feel that just because of past glories that they can get a manager in who will make it work. No, the game has moved on. The players at Manchester United are just not good enough. There's a few that can stay, but they're not good enough. They haven't picked a manager and given a manager the full responsibility in his belief in his principles and giving him the time to recruit the players he wants in there. That's because of, again, too much involvement from up top with people who don't know nothing about football. Manchester United a bit remind me of the Dallas Cowboys living on past glory. I think for me that it's a big statement win for Manchester City, but I still feel the Premier League is still slightly open. And then when you look also at European competitions, they're going to face different types of teams and different problems. One thing that Michael forgot to mention, the point that he made about Manchester City's transforming the game and Aki being able to step out with the ball and all those type of things. Michael forgot to mention the fact of they still have Erling Haaland, the difference maker. Yeah. He's the only striker in the world who can get onto the end of a cross by Kevin De Bruyne like that with his 6 foot something legs. That is the difference. You still have to compete with that type of striker. They could have any other striker in the world. They're not getting onto a ball like that.
Well, there is one. Robert Lewandowski gets on that ball. I do challenge that.
Lewandowski, yes. But still, I just feel that Erling Haaland right now is still not even in his full prime yet. And he's got that youth about him, which makes him the difference maker. So there's a lot to talk about, Jimmy, that it's just that it's not just a simple conversation. And we don't have enough time to dive into it. But I think it's a statement win.
Yeah, oh no, it's an incredible statement win, and clearly who the best team is in Manchester. Haaland is 9 goals away. That still seems like a lot, but he's 9 goals away from equaling the Golden Boot winner from last year, and it's only October 2nd. I think it's pretty clear this guy's going to smash any record, Alan Shearer, anybody else that's at the record at the top.
Andy Cole's
time of 34. Yeah, Andy, what a player too, yeah. Andy Cole. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
The only thing that could stop Erling Haaland is himself through injury. We know he has an injury track record for a young player, so keep that in mind.
True.
Although he doesn't have the World Cup to worry about, injury could come at any moment because City will be competing on all four fronts.
I just want to say something in there quickly, though. For me, I guess I grew up in a different generation. I think for me, when you come up against the likes of Haaland, that should motivate you as a player to want to like stifle him and really make it difficult. I can't speak a lot for this new generation that we're talking about in what we're seeing in football, but I would be extra competitive in the fact of making it very difficult for him. Manchester United just didn't do that, in my opinion. They didn't compete enough. And we talk about the greats. Yeah. The greats really, you know, you talk about the John Terrys and all those centre-backs and the Campanies and those type of players. They will make it difficult for you. I can't say I saw that for the Manchester United players today, trying to compete against this right now is the best striker in the world. I want him to remember my name and make it difficult for him. Haaland's not going to remember the Manchester United centre-backs because he just destroyed them. And I just think that there's that lack of competitiveness that in the modern game.
Okay, so one fun fact, and then I'm going to throw it to Mike LaHood, our resident Manchester United fan, just so you can show us your suffering, I guess. Yeah. But there's one fun fact here. Manchester United, their transfer market activity over the last 5 years, they have spent or they're
overspent.
Down. It's $667 million is the balance that they're in the negative. $667 million. Yeah. And then the Manchester City over the last 5 years, $249 million in the negative. And so for all the people that are like FFP and all this stuff, you know, I mean, Man United, they're out there still spending. But to your point before, Nigel, it hasn't been with a lot of a plan. And we had evidence of that today where Casemiro should start, doesn't start. And that just kind of gives you more of that. So enlighten us, Michael Lahoud, with regard to what Manchester United needs to look forward to. And then we'll move on to actually the league leaders in the Premier League, Arsenal, and their big win over Tottenham.
Look forward to.
You know what? Let me suck in my oxygen tank. This is my 1 minute rant that I'm going to go on. So first of all, I am just flabbergasted, perplexed. I mean, he's trying to use all my dictionary word, perplexed, that Ten Hag did not start Casemiro. It makes me wonder. I always thought that Harry Maguire had the nudes of Ten Hag and United upper echelon. It's Scott McTominay that has the nudes, because there's no way you start Scott McTominay if you know you're going to start Christian Eriksen in the middle of the park. And also, Manchester United, you've been living and dying by this counterattack football for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You have to have a plan B. In the games they've won, it's been getting it, absorbing pressure, and then playing direct, running the channels, Marcus Rashford blistering pace, Jadon Sancho getting in on the action, getting in the final third and coming to life. Today against City, I think that there is no response. They had a couple glimpses, but Manchester City, if you're going to throw that many numbers forward, at times United were throwing four players in attack. That leaves a massive bus that you could drive a Mac 10 truck through in the form of Kevin De Bruyne to hit you on the counter. And you have Erling Haaland, who is waiting there to reap the rewards. A player that I thought Torm Anu, I'm going to say my first cuss word on K. Golasso. Sorry, family, friends, and people who I say it's a family show.
Go.
Ripped him a new asshole. I got it out of my system. Wow, I beat Nigel to the punch. Ripped him a new asshole today. This is a player. I thought more about England when I saw Phil Foden, how he played, thinking the bigger picture for the World Cup. Play him with a free roll. Don't play him in this boxed in spot that he has for the English national team. He showed what he could do. Unfortunately, Malacia, he could be on the bench after this game. I thought he was very poor, looked shell-shocked. It was a welcome to the Premier League hell for Ten Hag and United. Massive reality check, but I changed my expectations. I don't think they'll win Premier League like I thought before this game. I think they'll get probably Champions League. That's my deranged United living on a prayer. No, it's realistically,
deranged. They'll get Champions League.
No, realistically, though, I'm just saying that to give myself hope.
Jimmy, on that note, we move on now. Because
we move on.
It's the hope that kills you.
It does. I do want to say that Erling Haaland made his Premier League debut 56 days ago, and he's already owning the league, and people thought he would struggle after the Community Shield. All right, let's move on, though, to Arsenal versus Tottenham. North London derby, a big one. Ooh. And Arsenal decided to continue to play like they've been playing for most of the season. They were excellent in this one, Nigel. Just really demonstrated what they're looking like under Arteta with their new signings. Getting Saliba back in the defense, he's been solid. You have Gabriel Jesus, who's been excellent. Who, by the way, every time he's scored in the Premier League, his teams have never lost, and that trend continued in this game. Harry Kane got his 100th goal away from home, or 100 away goals in the Premier League. That's a record, so congratulations to him. But just a mere footnote, I would say, Nigel, in terms of the dominating performance by Arsenal in this. And then we'll get into the Emerson red card, but I did want to hear your thoughts on Arsenal overall. They're top of the table right now. City's actually looking up at them. They have 21 points. City have 20 at the moment.
I'll be honest with you. I think that this was another big test for Arsenal after Manchester United, because for me, Tottenham's still not really playing at their maximum level. So I thought it would be interesting. And for me, I would have to say, with the performance of what I saw by Arsenal, I would say they are in the title race. Like, I would have to say now they are really one of the teams that could win the Premier League title.
I love that.
Fantastic team performance. And then what
positivity coming from Nigel. It's really nice.
I'm feeling
warm and fuzzy over here.
A little different.
Yeah. I give credit when credit is due. And that performance for me shows to me that, yes, you have to take Arsenal seriously, that they're in the title race. I think Arteta's changed a lot there. The players are buying into it. I see great togetherness. Even after they took the lead, you see the togetherness of the team huddle, getting the players on the same page. Everyone's in there. They're all buying and on the same page. They're in the title race.
Okay. Yeah, jump in, Mike. I want to hear your thoughts on it. And throw in your take on Emerson red card, because I think a yellow would have been okay. I know by definition he showed the bottom of his boots and he gets them high above the ankle. Yeah. But man, it's a derby, man. Like, you gotta let a little of that slide. I mean, nothing egregious. He didn't break his leg or anything.
Yeah.
I just felt a little harsh.
I think that was a very harsh red card decision, and the decision that changed the game. It was 2-1. Gabriel Jesus had just scored, and Tottenham Hotspurs, prior to the Jesus goal, they were putting a ton of pressure on Arsenal. Remember, Arsenal, the first 15 minutes, it was all Arsenal. They came out of the blocks, high energy. The Emirates was bouncing. Hadn't heard it sound like that in a long time. And North London derbies, you know it's going to provide energy. It's going to be end-to-end. Neither team wants to give up. It's going to be relentless. But as soon as Tottenham got that goal, and Nigel, you said this in the group chat, Arsenal looked befuddled. They looked shell-shocked. They were rattled. And they couldn't get out of their own end. Misplayed passes, locked in their own end. And Tottenham came out of the second half and really taking it to them a bit. But goalkeeping errors and individual moments of horror from Hugo Lloris, it becomes, since he's won the World Cup, you know he's good for that once a match. Almost
well,
once
even
a
in
half.
The World Cup final, he made that mistake. Yeah.
And those are the momentum killers in a derby match that you cannot have. Credit to Gabriel Jesus. This guy is a man on fire. I thought his movement at the start of the game, that interchange between he and Martinelli, was difficult for Tottenham to keep tabs of. Bukayo Saka had a low-key, just solid performance. I thought he was everywhere. On that second goal, it was he who just wrong-footed Ivan Perisic, kind of exposing the fact that Perisic is not an out-and-out wingback or defender by nature. Wrong foots him, gets a good shot on target, one that Lloris should do well with. Lloris parries it right in the path of Jesus. So credit to Arsenal on pouncing on momentum. And then Granit Xhaka, he's been the X factor for the Gunners, playing in a more advanced midfield role. And if you wind back the clock, I saw him play in the Champions League before he moved abroad for the first time from Basel. That was his natural position coming up. A box-to-box midfielder. He has in his locker, can cover ground. Granit Xhaka, though, moment of madness, he was at fault for that first goal. I think he had an errant touch. So, overall, incredible result for the Gunners. I thought just team performance, quality, unified performance, and they keep on rolling. Just makes you wonder, though, do you consider that a quality win, given the way that Tottenham Hotspurs are?
Yeah. I think there's a lot to unpack. I'll jump in about Tottenham really quick, Nigel, For whatever reason, Antonio Conte can get maybe cajole top performances from some of his guys, but collectively it doesn't seem like they're all on the same page or all playing at a high level at the same time. And I think, you know, all of a sudden they might be playing well, the back four might be lights out, and then Lloris makes a mistake, and then heads go down, and then all of a sudden they're not as sharp or they're not as confident. We know that confidence is a hell of a drug. So I'm curious to see how Antonio Conte gets the team. How do they respond to this? That's going to be a big test, I think, for Spurs, especially with the Champions League coming up this week. And it's going to be a quick turnaround for a lot of these teams. Now, I actually want to move over, though, to Liverpool-Brighton, because that's 3-3, baby. And Brighton were up 2-0. And then Liverpool, to the surprise of no one, come back and make it 3-2. But maybe to the surprise of people this season, or maybe not this season, given how they've been performing. But they're always making these casual mistakes. It makes it 3-3. Leandro Trossard scored a hat trick. He's only the third visiting player to score a Premier League hat trick at Anfield ever. And Liverpool's slow start to the season continues. They were once title contenders. I had them going neck to neck at the end with Man City. I don't know if this Liverpool team is currently going to do that, Nigel. And I wanted to get your thoughts. Trent Alexander-Arnold not looking good again. He's obviously under a lot of speculation about his defending. Jurgen Klopp came out and said, well, that's what we take. We know he's not as great defensively, but the reward is that he's so good on the attack. But if he's not doing it on that side, or even if he is and can't defend and he's getting punished for it, there's a lot to unpack with Liverpool. I wanted to get your thoughts on this 3-3 game.
I'll let Mike go because it's Liverpool and he's a United fan.
Let me see what he says about Liverpool.
Go on, mate.
Classic NRC, just to chop me to smithereens after I
you're
say
wearing a United bit. Shirt. You're doing it yourself.
Okay. You know what? Let me. Hey, you're lucky.
Come on,
I didn't
Mike,
wear the
Liverpool's
paper bag
suffering
over
now.
My
they're
head.
Suffering too. You can join them in the suffering. You can say, listen, we're wearing red together and this hurts. I don't know.
Say it week in and week out. This is a Liverpool team that is being exposed because they let their best player from last season, it wasn't Mohamed Salah, it was Mane. Last season, they let him go. And they made a mistake, and they're paying the price for that. Bobby Firmino is saving them when he shows up at Anfield to score goals. That seems to be the place where he finds the back of the net and doing it in bunches. The big problem with this Liverpool team at the back is effort. Simply put, effort. When you talk about Trent, yes, he's going to get beat defensively, but on some of those goals, the first two goals, he's walking back. He's watching the play develop. That is something I have not seen from Trent Alexander-Arnold in seasons past. Liverpool, they have a team that has played a ton of games. They've made it to Champions League finals. They played in big Premier League matches. I think they're a team that's emotionally exhausted. They came second best in every category in terms of the Champions League and the Premier League last year. That is as emotionally exhausting to pick yourself back up, the short turnaround, and then the combination of international games and Premier League games. When I think about the tonic for that, I'm not sure there is one right now, because you still have to play your quality players to hope that something changes. They're playing with a lot of fire. They were very fortunate. I think that was kind of a false bravado, if you will, that game ended 3-3. It felt more like a loss than a win for Liverpool.
Okay, so Nigel, before you jump in here, I kind of want to tee it up in this way, because Jurgen Klopp, I think, is making selections that sometimes are based on loyalty as opposed to maybe going with players that fit the system or are just fresher or in form. Do you think that Liverpool have hit a peak? They've hit their ceiling with Jurgen Klopp. Like, they've done so much. To Mike's point, they're exhausted. They've played so many games over so many years and played in such a rock and roll, high-pressing style. At some point, that's going to collapse. Like, the players just can't do it at that level, game in and game out. I don't know. I'm just throwing it up to you. I'm throwing you a lob. You hit it. Hit it wherever you want.
Mike made a great point. They're emotionally exhausted, 100%. That's what I've always said. I'm not saying these players have become bad players overnight, because it's impossible. They're top-class players.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like you just said there, Jimmy, the seven-year itch. The same thing happened 7 years at Dortmund. The same thing happened at Dortmund, remember, when they were so competitive, Champions League, consistently for 7 years. And on the seventh year of Jurgen Klopp being there, they just dropped tremendously. And that's when he left Dortmund, correct?
Yes.
This is his seventh year at Liverpool. And one thing that Klopp does as well is he likes to work with a small squad. He doesn't like a big squad. Michael made another great point. I felt, for me, that Mane was the catalyst, the special talisman at Liverpool, and them letting him go was a big mistake. He was a big part of that Liverpool team and success. Players, to me, look emotionally tired. They look tired completely in general. They look drained, and that is why we're seeing problems at Liverpool. It's not about the quality of the players. They look tired. I think the whole Trent Alexander-Arnold stuff doesn't help, because that, for me, was blown up what they do best, the British press and the British media, with him not being in Gareth Southgate's squad. Instead of letting Gareth Southgate pick his team and do what he does as a manager, the English press and media have to have their say and input, which is a way of the English media saying Trent should be playing. So all of that plays a part. He is a human being. I'm sure all that negativity and all the backlash of him not being in the England squad, and then Jurgen Klopp having to stand up for him, and then him playing in a Premier League game, it affects him. We have to be real. He probably lost a bit of confidence and started to question himself. And then with that, a smart manager would say, go down Trent's side. Go down Trent's side. Let's see how strong he is mentally. And that's what teams are going to do. But Jurgen Klopp is a very honest manager. He says, we know what Trent can't do defensively, but he's not in the team for that. Because what he brings to the attacking side of the game, playing front foot, attacking football, scoring goals, creating chances, is what Jurgen Klopp's about. He will take that. The problem is, other players around who've covered that for so long, in Van Dijk and other players,
aren't playing,
not
as well.
Playing at the highest bit of their game. So it's that simple. It's not rocket science. And I feel that that's the best way to really analyze that whole situation.
Well, just to get the hype going, everybody, Arsenal host Liverpool next weekend at the Emirates. So that one should be a cracking affair, as I like to say. All right, let's finish up our roundup of the Premier League. I know everybody's on their edge of their seats for this. Bournemouth and Brentford finished 0-0. I know you guys were all excited about that. My Newcastle baby went to Craven Cottage, got the big 4-1-1. Miguel Almirón, MLS. Yes, let's go, buddy. Atlanta United.
Jesus Christ.
Alumni.
Yes. Yeah,
well, West Ham with the big 2-0 win over Wolves. Wolves only one win in the last 15 Premier League games. Bruno Lage, you have been fired. Looks like Mauricio Pochettino, according to Nigel Riococo over here, says he might be coming in.
Everton. I just threw a name out.
Sure. Maybe Zidane will come in instead. Who knows? Maybe he likes managing Portuguese players. Everton with a big 2-1 win away from home against Southampton. And then the one we're going to finish on is Chelsea beating Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. Christian Pulisic, just from an American perspective, came on super sub. Had an assist. Hey, Nigel, just let us have our moment, okay?
Yes.
The U.S. men's national team didn't have a good last week. We just want to, like, hype up our players when we get a chance. He had an assist to Conor Gallagher, who scored against his on-loan team from last season with a banger. And now Chelsea win their first game, Michael Lahoud, under Graham Potter. Pretty good, dude. Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I just want to go back to something one Nigel Coker said. I've been waiting to sit on this. I was going to hope for when the U.S. men's national team beat England at the World Cup. You heard it here first on K. Golasso. When that happens, you said it was a disgrace that his hammy injury kept him out of the Japan game. Am I right? Am I wrong? Dez, roll the tape because it's there. It's not so much of a disgrace now, is it? Comes off the bench, slaloms through a couple defenders, and tees it up for a Conor Gallagher Golasso. Namesake of the show,
Michael. Golasso. Let's just see if he's fit for the next game. Anyway, carry on.
Another player that I remember you put the brown paper bag over his head, making his Chelsea Premier League impact. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
He did. He scored. His first goal for Chelsea.
You blasted him in that first game.
That's a tidy goal, too, by the way, by Aubameyang.
And he put some respect on the man's name alongside Christian Pulisic.
Michael, he's doing what he's paid to do. My problem is his application to me still looks like it's a laugh and a joke. I've never disputed his talent and his ability, but I want that same energy. Look, you could be a laugh and a joke. But you could be lethal like Haaland. Aubameyang is not like Haaland. Let's be real about that.
No,
Haaland looks like a friendly guy laughing a joke, but he's doing the business. He wants to score goals. I don't see that same desire and hunger in Aubameyang. My thing for me is this. I'm still not convinced of Chelsea. I don't know how long Raheem Sterling's going to be wanting to play this wing-back role. And the reality is, Crystal Palace were cheated. Thiago Silva should have been sent off, in my opinion. That was a deliberate handball.
Agreed.
He was the last man. And if it was anyone else who did that, if that was a Crystal Palace player doing that against Chelsea, you better believe they would have been sent off. And it goes to my days of playing in the Premier League where the big clubs always got the decisions. It's true. Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, all the big clubs always got their decision. For me, it would have been a different game we saw if they stuck to the law of the letter of the game and Thiago Silva was sent off. But I'm still not fully convinced with Chelsea.
That only took us 30 minutes, everybody, but Nigel finally gave us when I played in the Premier League. What an absolute stat. His flex of the day. All right, we're going to take our first and only break at K. Golasso. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the other big games that are happening around Europe and the rest of the world. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account. Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Welcome back to K. Golasso. I'm Jimmy Conrad, not Ian Joy. I'm here with Nigel Riococher and Michael Lahoud, and we're breaking it all down for you. Hope everybody's having a good weekend, unless you're probably a Manchester United fan or a Tottenham fan. A lot of fans out there probably not happy. Liverpool, the list goes on and on. But let's go to Serie A, okay? Mm. Open up and say Serie A, because there was a big, big match in this one. Inter Milan hosting AS Roma. Now, Roma, hadn't beaten Inter Milan in the league since 2017. It'd been a long time, but there's only one name that I think could maybe unlock that. His name is Jose Mourinho, and he masterminded a crazy 2-1 win at the San Siro. Chris Smalling scores on a set piece to break the deadlock. It was at 1-1. Paulo Dybala scored a nice, tidy goal at the back post as well. The new signing for Roma, he's made a big difference. He's now got 4 goals and 2 assists in his 7 appearances. And as long as he stays healthy, I think Roma's definitely in the conversation. Maybe not to win the Scudetto, but definitely top 4. Now, there's a crazy clip of Jose Mourinho celebrating. I think producer Dez has this teed up for us. So, producer Dez, hopefully you are ready with this. All right, let's take a look at Mr. Jose Mourinho. Hopefully we can hear him. So he's watching the... Was he suspended for this game? He was, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he got sent off for Atalanta.
That's right. Look at that. I mean, when he started screaming, I thought it was the other guy making that voice, but apparently that was Jose Mourinho acting like an 8-year-old, and I appreciate him acting like he's 8. He's so excited to do that. Michael Lahoud, I'll start with you, and then we'll hear from you, Nigel, about this. Big win for Mourinho, big win for Roma. Terrible loss for Inter Milan. Yep. They lost 3 games. It took them 26 games in Serie A last season to lose their first 3 games. Prior to losing to Roma, they had already lost 3 in their first 7. Not looking good for Simone Inzaghi in charge of Inter. I don't care if Lukaku's playing or not. They should have had a better performance in this one, especially at home.
It's worrying because they took the lead in this game with a goal from DeMarco, making a slashing run and just a well-timed finish, well-timed run, looking like this could be the game that would catapult and reignite their season. But there's a mental fragility about this Inter team that I haven't seen in a few years. Simone Inzaghi's job is hanging in the balance, and I wonder, just wonder, if going into this Champions League week, if he does not get a positive result or make it competitive by any means, if that could cost him his job. Inter are going the wrong way. Lautaro Martinez looked very much like he was almost a non-factor in this game because Roma did well to snuff out plays, tackling, team defending. Martinez wriggling away from the first challenge but couldn't get free from the second or third. And just the better team overall won. Big caveat in this game, Tammy Abraham did not start. That was a big call from Jose Mourinho, choosing to go this free-flowing front three of Pellegrini, Dybala, and Zaniolo, a player who was linked to the likes of Tottenham Hotspurs at the start of the season. Very wise move for him to not go to Spurs, it looks like, with the way Roma have started.
Jimmy, I must say, I love Michael's breakdown because he's so spot on, very knowledgeable about football, fantastic insight as well. But the thing that
there's something, oh my gosh, thank you.
Why the bloody hell is he wearing a Manchester United shirt? That's the only thing. Like, you've got great knowledge, but you're a Manchester United fan. Some more serious matters. I think for me, Jimmy, when you look at that, we discussed it as well in another pod that we did. I said that this game suits Jose Mourinho perfectly. Roma sat back, defended, grinding out, snuffling out. They limited Inter to some long-range efforts only. They didn't really have their finishing boots on. They couldn't put it into the back of the net. And Roma were happy to grind it out. To come back from behind and win 2-1 is a big statement win. But it's a typical Jose Mourinho setup. And like Michael said, he's right. 100% a big call not to start Tammy Abraham. But then when Tammy does come on, he had a fantastic opportunity to really put the game beyond Inter Milan. And you are worried about this Inter Milan team. Because again, they had most of the game. That's the reality of it. They had most of the game, most of the play. The better chances. But again, Roma limited them to mostly long-range efforts and they couldn't put it into the back of the net. It's a big statement win for Roma, in my opinion. And again, it's not anything that surprises me. It's what I expected from Jose Mourinho to go there. And like you said, Jimmy, first win in 5 years there.
Yeah, it's incredible. And Inter now drops to 8th. They have 4 wins and 4 losses. So they're either really good or really bad. They've given up 13 goals in 8 games. That's not a good look for them. That's where I think it's been one of their weaknesses, is just a little bit of vulnerability, almost Liverpool-esque, where they're just making uncharacteristic mistakes, and that's obviously costing them a lot of points, and points they might not be able to get back, because I do want to mention Napoli, who are excellent once again, getting a big result against Torino 3-1. They're up 3-0, I think, after 30 minutes, absolutely cruising. Krava, the Georgian, an unbelievable player, by the way, signed him for $10 million, and he has been an absolute gem for Luciano Spalletti and that team. And it makes me wonder very quickly about Napoli. And Nigel, I'll throw it right back to you with regard to Napoli.
There he is.
That Lorenzo Insigne moving on, Dries Mertens moving on, Koulibaly moving on. Like, they maybe needed to have those guys who had been such a mainstay and such a golden generation for Napoli for so long to leave so that these other younger players could start to take on more responsibility. And obviously, Krav has been a hell of a signing. What do you think about Napoli's chances? Because we've seen this before. They were up last season in Serie A, week 16, match day 16. They were still on top of the table, and they always seem to have they're stumbling at the back half of the season. And I wonder if, because they've shed those old guys and they've got this new vibrancy about them, and when Osimhen comes back and is full at health too, he's a tremendous player. Do you think they have a chance of winning the Scudetto for the first time in 30 years?
I do so. I really do believe so, Jimmy. I think for
when
you look at Napoli, you look at a team that has a plan. You have a plan and a direction. Their recruiting is going well. The system of how they play, the manager and everything that they do, they've got a great plan. And I'm a big fan of Napoli right now. And I think for me,
so everybody listening, Matt anyway, said that's Napoli crapping the bed. Yes. Three certainties in life.
You always got it. But no, I think this is what people have to realize this time, and especially Matt as well. This is the first time in the world we're having a World Cup during the middle of winter time, where clubs normally get a break. It's not usual. So there's a lot of different factors that's going to affect every single team, especially top teams, the top 1%, because they're the ones that's going to lose most of their players to this World Cup in Christmas, where there's a chance of injuries and all types of stuff. And as a famous manager once said, never sign a player after the World Cup because they're never the same when they come to you. So it's going to be interesting to see how clubs operate in this transfer window with just coming off the back of a World Cup. But I personally feel that Napoli are one of the teams who could potentially win the Scudetto this year. And again, like you said, if Osimhen comes back fit and they keep him fit, they're really a great team, well-bond, great defensively, great in that midfield area, and great in the attacking sense. You do worry about strength in depth, but I feel with the 13, 14 players, they can be able to do it if luck is on their side.
Yeah, I mean, I actually feel like Serie A might be my favorite league in Europe because it's so wide open. There might be four or five teams. I mean, Napoli's on top of 20. Lazio, big 4-1 over Spezia today. 17. Atalanta with 17 could be a 20. What's up?
Yeah, just a quick one. Sorry to cut you off, Jim. Did Michael just say, yep, Serie A might be my favorite league and you're wearing the Man United shirt?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? After today, I'm going to avoid the Premier League.
I'm surprised
I'm gonna
he
avoid
has
anyone
it, right?
Who's a
you
Premier
should be turning
League
that
fan.
Inside out. You should be wearing
no, Napoli
inside
shirt,
out.
Michael, and I won't say anything to you. Wear a Napoli shirt. No, won't say a word to you.
You know what? I just might for the Champions League preview and the live recap this coming week, because they're going to be kicking. Oh, I can't say the one cuss word a week, kicking butt and
fine.
Taking names.
Okay, so let's talk about AC Milan, the reigning champions in Serie A. Crazy game against Empoli. They went up. Ante Rebic got a goal from Rafael Leao, who is one of my favorite players in all of Italy, maybe all of Europe, and I'm curious to see how he plays for Portugal in the World Cup. He ends up assisting that goal, but scores the third one in the 95th minute. There was three goals in injury time. Empoli made it 1-1, and then bang, bang, Milan scored in the last 2 minutes of the game to win 3-1. Do you think this Milan team has enough, Lahoud, to actually repeat as champions? Because there's a lot of teams gunning for them right now, obviously, and it's not easy to do. They have the recipe. They have the players. They've strengthened, and these guys have gained that experience of being champions before. But do you think they have enough? Because it feels like, not that they're scraping by every time, but they're not necessarily convincing for all 90 minutes right now.
Yes, I do. I think they're the one team that could pip Napoli to the title because of the one thing Napoli does not have. They have depth. They have players that can come off the bench and players who can give what the game needs. Ante Rebic seems to be a revelation this season. He was a starting striker when the league started, and he scored goals. As a striker, that gives you confidence knowing that you can do it off the bench or on the field as a starter. Olivier Giroud, he will find goals. Wasn't as prolific today. I think that was down to the international break, but a player who scored for France. They have a lot of players who are finding good form. And Nigel, we were talking about this. Tomori, crazy. He's not good enough to play for England, but he's good enough to play for the Serie A champions, the defending Serie A champions. That partnership between he and Simon Schär, I'm excited to see that flourish this season. I think this is a Milan team. This is the team to beat. Napoli will give them a run for their money. And don't sleep on Atalanta. They are the dark horses sitting in second place, quietly playing. But as soon as Napoli play AC Milan, they will feel the wrath of Rafa Leao. This guy is the best player in Serie A right now.
Nice wordplay there,
just
Michael.
Just a quick one, Mike. Haven't Napoli played AC Milan already? They did.
They have.
They did.
As soon as they play them again.
Yeah, they beat them, right? And it was Dest who gave a penalty away.
It was 2-1. That's right.
Yeah, you're right. USA. Okay.
Just all right. Sure. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, no, if you're watching this, if you're watching this live on YouTube, there's more Serie A action today with Maxi Allegri's in need Juventus side traveling to Bologna. Inform Atalanta are about to square off with Fiorentina. And tomorrow, the revelation of the season, Udinese look to leapfrog their way back to second with a win over Hell Yes Verona. You can watch these games in every Serie A game live and exclusively on Paramount Plus. Sign up. The details are in the description. All right, boys, let's do a little lap around the rest of Europe because there were some pretty big results. You had Bayern and Freiburg capitalizing on Union Berlin dropping points. They're now 2 points adrift, both of those teams from Union Berlin. La Liga, Robert Lewandowski had a golazo against Mallorca, did a lot of work himself to hit that to the back post. What a tremendous player as Barcelona win 1-0. Koke becomes the first player with the most, or the player with the most appearances for Atletico Madrid's history. And Atleti won 2-0 over Sevilla. Sevilla currently in the relegation zone in La Liga. So there's a lot of games out there, probably some I didn't mention. Nigel, I'll come to you. Make this your final thought because we got to tie this one up because producer Dez has got a hot date or something. I don't even know what's going on with him. But anything else stand out for you, Nigel?
I think everything, man. I've enjoyed it, Jimmy. Honestly, this whole week's football has been great. Watching the Manchester derby today, watching the North London derby. I'm saying Napoli continue winning ways, and obviously AC Milan as well makes it very interesting in there. I'm not going to get too excited about the German league because I feel that Bayern are just going to go on that run again, as we always see them do, winning 10-12 in a row. And I wasn't surprised that Atletico beat Sevilla. You do start worrying now for Sevilla what they're going to do, but manager's hands are tied, lost a lot of players, a lot of talent. It's going to take time. And Lewandowski continues to do the business for Barcelona.
So just as a fun fact, Lahoud, before I throw it to you, I put some money on Barcelona to win the league when they were at, or excuse me, the Champions League at 20-1.
Oh, wow.
And I'm liking that bet because Lewandowski, I think very similar to Erling Haaland, is maybe that final piece that Barcelona was lacking to really take that next step and be at the level, at least from Barcelona. Okay,
did you see Barcelona against Bayern Munich?
I said Man City, but you I had Barcelona? Oh no, I had Bayern Munich before. But then when I saw the odds that Barcelona were getting, I had to put some money on them.
That's smart betting.
20-1 when you have Lewandowski in your team, and those guys can.
They're not going to win no Champions League.
20-1. I had to put $100 on it.
Don't give our listeners false hope. They're not going to win no Champions League.
Well, they can't get 20-1 on Barcelona anymore. So I'm not giving them any
false hope. Champions League.
Anyway, Lahoud, any game stand out for you? Obviously, some action in MLS as well. Is the playoffs near? Anything? What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm thinking of two games that one going on right now. Celta Vigo up 1-0. On Real Betis. Betis, the team that started out like a house on fire, now seem to have the house on fire coming up short in the last couple games.
Man, your wordplay excellent today.
It must be the coffee, must be being desperate.
Shirt you're wearing.
Must be being desperate to talk about anything but United today. And going league, Jonathan Johnson, this is a shout out to you. PSG and Marseille going neck and neck, tit for tat. And it's going to lead up to October 16th. I think that is where PSG are going to get their first run for their money when Marseille come to town. Keep an eye on those two teams. Both teams coming off good results. PSG 1-0 against Lionel Messi and free kick goals, synonymous with what he does, magic in the air. And Marseille 3-0 victory, making a resounding statement in Ligue 1.
All right, my final thought. Make sure you listen to In Soccer We Trust. Yeah, baby.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
And Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies. We come to you three times a week talking about the U.S. men's national team and everything surrounding it. Because USA, I can't wait. I cannot wait when Nigel has to come on, Kay Golasso, and acknowledge that the U.S. were better than England at the World Cup. That's going to be like one of the greatest days of my life. Thank you for listening, everybody.
It's 10 there, Michael.
We'll see you next week. And the Enjoy will be back. Thanks for having me, Nigel. And Michael Lahoud, and of course, on behalf of producer Dez, we appreciate you. Thank you for all the love and support. We'll see you next time. Later.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.